And welcome back. George Norrie with you. Robert Stanley with us. Robert, give us a quick update. Covert encounters in Washington, D.C. What's your take on the current UFO situation?
Well, it's really changed, George. I mean, I don't know how much more we can possibly expect from the Pentagon, but they're essentially saying that these things are real. They're not telling us what they really are. And based on my research, Space Force has been around for a while. I know some people call it a breakaway civilization. Richard Dolan has came up with that.
Yeah.
But the technology has been developed and deployed for quite some time covertly. And it's really advanced. Ben Rich talked about it shortly before he died. And it's pretty well documented that we have some stuff that is truly exotic. And that the intelligence agencies have been exploiting it, and they want us to believe that these things are unidentified for a reason, because that way they don't have to be held accountable for all the money that's been spent on these exotic systems that they have.
Is it smart for countries to have secret forces like this?
Well, it doesn't matter what I think, because they obviously are doing it. And
sure.
I would prefer, I mean, because one of the things about living outside the United States in Hong Kong, which was great while it lasted, but now it's just like, you couldn't pay me all the money in the world, I wouldn't go back.
No, you can't.
Well, I could, but I would be, yeah. We're having problems with free speech here. There is none there now. And but the bottom line is, yeah, the United States Constitution, Bill of Rights, it's the best system, in my opinion. And whatever it takes to defend that from all enemies, foreign and domestic, then I'm for that. But I just, the secrecy thing, George, there's nothing we can do about it. That's just how nations and other, any large group, basically, that seems to be how they operate.
Indeed. Let's take some calls here for you. Let's start with Amber in the state of Washington. Hello, Amber.
Hey, how are you guys?
Great. Good to have you with us. Go ahead.
Thank you. So, I'm a first-time caller, definitely a little nervous, so forgive my anxiety.
Oh, you're fine. You're doing great.
Definitely had quite the experience the last year of my life. And I do believe that I might have received the mark of the beast, as crazy as to some people that might sound.
Tell us about that.
Well, I've been on the run now from being run out of my house since August of last year. There's a lot of what I thought was like paranormal activity, or, you know, maybe I was just living in the wrong neighborhood. But things were happening around my house that I absolutely couldn't explain, to a point that literally I called a friend and had them pick me up, and we packed what I could in the car, and I left my house for 6 months and only returned to move out.
6 months? Really?
Yes.
Now, when you
for 6 months, and I'm still on the road in my car.
You're kidding me.
Not kidding you. And, I've got the job and everything finally.
Are you living in the car?
I'm still living in the car. It's just the dog and me.
You like pull over on the side of the road and go to sleep? What do you do?
Well, honestly, in the town that I live in, which, given my situation or how dangerous everything, I've been so close so many times to near death. Due to the situation, so I don't want to tell you exactly where I am, but the town that I live in has a horrible crime, and literally relating back to the angels, the light angels, the dark angels, the fallen angels, and a lot of the people that I'm meeting around town. So there's really no safe place to park. You just kind of got to move around. Police like to kick people out. But back to the fallen angel thing that we've been talking about. I keep meeting and running into people that have also become homeless due to something close to this experience that I have gone through. And other people who are not homeless are very well in the know, but this is such a wide secret lately that only some people are willing to talk about. They'll share their experiences briefly, and then it's almost like they're just never seen or heard of again. So how I believe I received the mark of the beast was I ended up moving in with a lady who let me stay out in her backyard in an RV. She was actually a friend of mine, somebody I'd worked for in the past. Real nice lady. But we've been talking biblical stuff because things just kept coming up. And I know so when I started praying, things got a little better. I had an experience where I was staying at my parents' house and the house was invaded at night. And I found a Bible. And I thought we were going to die.
Because of what? An entity
because
or something?
There were people in the house. There were people in the house. Like somebody broke into the house, had undone the security system somehow from like a remote thing. But when we looked in the house, there was nobody in the house. But you could hear walking around.
So like spirits?
Smell weird. Like almost like spirits. You could almost hear voices. Certain light switches would or would not work. You know, when you go to use them. Smells, almost something at one time so almost intoxicating, it was like being gassed. Which led me to actually run to the bathroom to wet a cloth to try and breathe through it like a respirator.
Now, when you say the sign of the beast, you know, we talk about the 666.
I have a number on my hand.
The three sixes?
And it appeared after living with this lady. Sorry, I'm rambling because the story is so complex. I'll try and stay on track. So I was living there, we're talking biblical stuff, due to that experience that I had. And, she started asking me questions one night. She's like, well, you know, what are your dreams like? So I was like, well, that's interesting that you ask, because literally every single dream that I've ever had in my entire life, since like being 6, 7 years old, as long as I can remember, they have literally all happened. Now, in order, and my dreams would always go on a timeline. So over the years, they were always in order. Buildings and neighborhoods and the experience that I'm going through right now, including me trying to flap my arms and go up into the heavens just to escape the great danger that I'm feeling in the area that I'm roaming right now. Just trying to survive.
All right, I'm losing you on the phone here, so let's go to you for a quick reaction here, Robert. Assuming she's got the sign of the beast, what the heck does she do?
Well, that's an astonishing. I mean, that's not a story. I'm sorry she's suffering, and I hope that she can get past that. I mean, again,
are there angels you can summon to help you?
Yeah, there are. But I mean, okay, look, I can't give out any advice on this. There's a lot of different people that claim they do help you understand how to communicate with guardian angels. Personally, I think it's best to pray to God and he will then, direct assistance to you. Because so here's the thing, a lot of people calling into my show and saying, well, how do I know if I'm asking for help, how do I know if some entity shows up that it's good or not? And so my answer to that is if you're in a loving place, you really are in your heart, soul, if you're a very loving person, you'll be able to feel it. The odds are you're not going to attract something evil to you if you're a really loving person, but you still have to be very, very, very cautious.
We take text and tweets. Tom, what do you have for Robert?
This one in from Carolyn in Massachusetts. I would like to know your guest's definition of a fallen angel, and could UFOs have anything to do with them?
There are some people who believe UFOs are angelic. Robert Downing is one of them.
Yeah. In fact, when I first met Wilbur Allen and I was doing the studies of his work, mm-hmm. photographic evidence of UFO activity in Washington, D.C. at the Capitol, he said there were entities. Well, I think typically we could classify those as angels as well. Whether they're good or bad or not, I don't know. But there is a book by Nick Redfern called Final Events. He talks about the Collins Elite and how that there are elements within the U.S. government that are working with these fallen angels, allegedly. There's also a documentary out by the Fall Brothers called Higher Entities, and they document it very well, the timeline of how Alan Parsons And before that, Aleister Crowley had opened up portals that actually allow these entities to come even closer into our domain, the so-called physical three-dimensional world. And that was the beginning of the whole UFO thing back in the 40s and 50s.
Let's go to Victor in Reno, Nevada, west of the Rockies. Hi, Victor. Go ahead, sir.
George, thank you so much. You're doing such a great job. Thank you. And with such great guests like Robert. So, Robert, when you hear your name, you have like a spiritual awakening. Like, George, when you hear your name, you get kind of a spiritual awakening. And I'm advising that if there's an entity that you believe is negative, you probably should not say the name. Because George, I know how you feel about Ouija boards.
Oh yeah.
when I was in military, I kind of ended up with a group that let's just say the guy at the board pointed two letters, pointing out a name, and when he called out the name, a vision appeared. Well, it wasn't very pleasant. So that's why. Jesus said, call my name, and I would say Yahshua, and I believe, yes, if you call Michael, Raphael, I believe that they will be there to help. But if you call on someone that you believe is negative, I believe that will be a summons also. So that's
He's
why
right.
I heard you talking about the name that you're talking about, and I'm may not be a good idea to, if you know the entity's name, not to say it too often.
What do you think of that, Robert?
Yeah, I think he's right. And also they have signs or sigils, seals that, they're pretty much everywhere. A lot of corporate logos even have them. But I had to put it into historical context. And again, if anybody wants more information, the details of it are on my website at unicusmagazine.com. Since he brought up Jesus, it was an angel that announced the birth or the arrival of Jesus. And it was also angels that were there to help him come out of the tomb through the resurrection. So they're definitely around us. And they played a huge role in his life. And I am at this point in my life now where I would have to say that my understanding is that the reason Jesus even came among us was to begin liberating us from the influence of the fallen angels. Christians anyway, seem to think that he's here to help us absolve our sins. But it all started with that unholy relationship or alliance that I was telling you about before. That's the only reason I brought it up.
And if you invoke the names of some of these evil entities, anything could happen, don't you think?
Yeah, but again, if you are a loving person that is close to God and just is a good person, does good to others as opposed to ill, then I think there's some level of protection. And the caller's right, though. If you know what you're doing as far as asking for Michael and other entities that you know are good, and you're doing it for love, out of a loving place, I think you'll be okay.
Next up, let's go to Wayne in Tacoma, Washington. Hey, Wayne, welcome back. Go ahead.
Thank you, George. Good evening, gentlemen. Hi, Richard. Let me dispel some of the things that Richard has said. He talked about the Book of Enoch. In the authorized 1611 King James Bible, they knew that the Jewish theologians, before Christ was even born on earth, rejected the Apocrypha. The Apocrypha was around then. The Jewish theologians rejected it. The writers of the Bible in 1611 rejected it. So there's good authority there for not trusting in those apocryphal books. This gentleman sounds like the Benjamin Krem of angelology. This is problematic. And before I go on anymore, I want to dispel something that Amber said. No one has ever received the mark of the beast. clearly receiving the mark of the beast is going to be a time on earth.
It's either all or none, isn't it?
Yeah, well, yeah, it's going to be a time when things are just really hellish on earth, and the people of earth are going to be crying for a savior, clearly, and this man is going to come from the region of Persia, because Isaiah, look up Isaiah, he's the one that clearly defines where the Antichrist comes from, and also in Isaiah 66:24, the picture of hell is very clear. It says during the millennial reign of Christ on earth that people in Jerusalem are going to be able to look down into hell and see the people there in solitary confinement where the worm never dies and the fire is never quenched. That's for all eternity. Not a very pleasant thing. And Jesus talked 7 times more about hell in the Bible than he did about heaven. And the reason is he loves people and he wants no one to go there. It's very clear. So, you know, if you want to do a good book, do a book on Benjamin Graham. And
God rest his soul, right, Wayne?
No, I'm afraid he's already in hell or waiting to put in hell, George. I mean, you know the program we did with him on the air.
Oh, and we got sick, remember?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, to have the power that he had in the and having an office in the United Nations and teaching all the leaders of the world to the dark forces of the world, just a terrible thing. And, you know, that's the whole picture of the United Nations today. They've all gone down the bad road. So, anyway, that's about all my comments I have to say for tonight. Thank you, George.
All right. Okay. Well, I'm not sure, Robert, you know Benjamin Krem, but that was a guest who claimed that he represented the Maitreya. Never said the Antichrist, but said the Maitreya, but the strange individual he was. He's no longer with us.
I'm not sure why Wayne is comparing me to Benjamin Krem.
No, you're not Benjamin Krem.
I never said anything about Maitreya.
You don't sound evil. I don't think, unless you're the great deceiver.
No, I'm just here to help, George.
These, the good angels, the ones that are helping us, are they on the planet or have they left us?
Yeah, you know, some people have asked me, why aren't they doing more? Because things look so terrible. But it's what we were saying before. Typically, they do not want us to worship them or depend on them for our salvation. You know, I told you, a lot of times people never see them or sense them around until there's a crisis in their life.
That's a good point. Robert, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back in just a moment here on Coast to Coast AM and take final phone calls as we talk about the angelic realm with Robert Stanley, his website, Unicus, UNICUS, magazine.com, linked up at coasttocoastam.com. And welcome back. George Norrie with you, our final segment with Robert Stanley. Robert, you've been to nearly 60 countries pursuing ancient mysteries. What has been the most fascinating subject you have come across?
Oh, my goodness. There's so many. This is a great question, George. You know what? I'm really fascinated by the Great Pyramid of Giza.
Yeah, I bet. Gorgeous.
I mean, it's there, and yet we still can't figure out how they did it exactly. There's a lot of theory. I was there once when I was 15. I had an out-of-body experience in the King's Chamber, so-called King's Chamber.
Wow.
Yeah, that to me is it's. I'm reading a book about it right now. Actually, it's.
you can feel something there, can't you?
Oh my God, yes.
And when you look at it, did you try to imagine how did they build this thing?
Yeah, for what? Well, it's obviously not just a tomb. There was something else in there, and that it was used for, and it was. The thing is, we're just looking at the skeleton of what was something that was. They say it wasn't just the casing stones; it had paint, it was decorated with paint, so it had symbols on it, and it basically would glow, you know, under a full moon or sunlight, and with the capstone, it must have been absolutely astonishing.
Oh my God! And the seals, I'm told they're so tightly trimmed, you could barely put a razor blade in between them.
Right.
That's amazing.
They weren't using copper chisels.
Exactly.
No, no.
Or rolling them up on logs.
No, it was acoustic. They were using ultrasound high-speed drills and saws and lathes. And
maybe lasers?
And they were obviously levitating the stone. Let's see, what is the book I'm reading right now? You might want to have this guy on. It's called Gods of Eden by, Andrew Collins.
I've had him on.
Oh, okay. About this book, Gods of Eden?
I think so, some time ago.
All right, yeah, I guess it's probably not a new book, but I picked it up yesterday.
All right, let's go to the phones. Let's go to Ki Young in Los Angeles. Welcome to the program. Hi, Ki Young. Thanks for calling.
Hey, how you doing, George?
Great.
This is my first time calling.
Thank you.
I have a angel story for you.
All right, perfect.
Okay, so one day, one night, actually it was early in the morning, like 5 o'clock, I was awakened by a voice, right? It told me to go get some juice, okay? So I get up, I go to the refrigerator, right? And I'm at my friend's house, I'm house sitting. And so I open up the refrigerator, there's no juice there. And I'm like, there's no juice. And then the voice goes, go to the store, right? And so I said, okay. Put on my shoes, went to the store down the street, and went to get some juice, brought it to the counter. Now, when I was walking to the counter, the voice told me again, it said, buy 2 lottery tickets. Okay, so I said to the voice, I'm saying this in my head, right? Like, how do I know which lottery tickets to buy? And the voice said, you'll know. So when I got to the counter, the scanner shot its beam to the lottery ticket. And so the voice told me to get 2 of them. So I told the guy, get me 2 of those tickets. So I got the tickets. I'm walking out the store, and then this homeless lady comes up to me, and she starts saying, and the only thing, audible thing I heard was, $1, right? So I gave her, like, I reached in my pocket, gave her some coins, you know, like, it was a whole bunch of quarters, and I gave it to her, and then she goes, your brothers are good. And I was like, okay. So then I walked around the block, I was scratching the tickets, the first one loses, the second one wins, and I asked the voice, I said, well, what do I do now? It says, go to the first store you come to and cash it in. So I walk around the block, and nothing was open except the same store. So I went to the store, went to redeem the ticket, and the guy goes, well, you can't redeem the ticket until after 6 o'clock, because that's when the lottery opens back up. And I said, okay, cool. So I went outside to wait for 6 o'clock, and then this lady, the same lady, comes up to me again. And then this time she started explaining to me, like, things that she would have no idea, you know, of about my life. Like, she was telling me I was going through a divorce. She was telling me my favorite book of the Bible. And then she told me, she goes, I've been with you since the beginning. She said, I was with you in heaven. And she goes, the reason why I'm down here looking like this is because that's the way I had to come down here. She goes, but in heaven, she goes, I'm so beautiful. I have long hair. And then when she started describing herself, in my mind's eye, I saw her as she was describing herself. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. Huh. And so she told me a lot of things I won't, you know, disclose here, because she told me my purpose. And so,
yeah.
And so after she told me that, I went on a walk with her, and about this time people were coming out. This was in Hollywood. People were coming out their apartments or whatever, and she started singing, and the people were looking at me like, why are you walking with this homeless man? But when she started singing, her voice was so beautiful. I was like, oh, my goodness. Like, I've never heard a voice like that. And I'm in the music industry. So I'm like, this is a beautiful voice. And then she told me some parting things. And so I started to look up, like, what is an angel? And it described what she was wearing. Like, it described that she had on, that the clothes would be out of date, but they wouldn't be dirty. And she matched that description. And so after that, I started looking at, you know, homeless people and transient people different. Like, I would see them, and if they matched that description, I would like, you know, let them know that I knew who they were. But recently, like, I've been going through a lot of spiritual stuff lately, like real heavy stuff. And I'm just like, what is going on? And so I was doing a prayer and a meditation, and I brought my energy up into my heart. And then it just changed a whole bunch of things I really can't get into right now. But what I noticed, there was this homeless guy at my block, right, who was always there. He matched that description. And like, I was sitting in a parking lot talking on the phone, right? And he got in front of my car as I'm talking on the phone, and I'm thinking to myself, I bet you he's an angel, right? And when I thought that, he turned around, looked at me, and started dancing. And I was like, oh, my goodness. He heard what I thought about.
He knew what you were thinking.
Yeah.
He knew what I was thinking. And then he left, and then another, like, this guy looked like a human bull. But, you know, he's like a human, but I would describe him as a bull. That's what, like, that's what he reminds me of. And then the other guy came. He was a little thinner, right? And he just kept, like, coming around my car, and I'm thinking he's going to ask me for some money. But he never did, right? And so I'm like, why is this guy just looking at me? And I was like, oh, my God, he's an angel, too.
You had angels all around you. Let me ask Robert a question here, Ki-young, and that is, do they always kind of cloak themselves so you don't know who they are or what they are?
It seems that way. I just go back to what I said before, is that they do not want us to worship them or depend on them. To do things for us that we can, they'll help us, especially when we need it. That was an amazing story.
But assuming they were both angels, why do they cloak? I mean, why do they kind of hide themselves as homeless people or whatever?
They don't always do that.
But
I mean, here's the thing, George. This is why it's so strange to even have this conversation, because a lot of people who would tell you their version of it. One of the guys that I interviewed is a retired New York police detective, and he told me that he had the highest success rate of busting criminals during interrogation.
Mm-hmm.
And he said the reason he was successful is because his guardian angel worked with him every time
and helped him.
Yeah. So it isn't just they're not always visible. Yes, but they're certainly around us. A lot of times we don't even notice it, and that's the way they want it. Though I told you, they really don't want to cause a lot of bring a lot of attention to themselves.
No, not at all. We have another final text and tweet for you from you, Thomas. What do you have?
Yeah, this ties in nicely, Robert. This is from Mark in Tallahassee, Florida. He says, "Can your guests please talk a little bit about guardian angels and how they fit into people's beliefs?"
Yeah. As I say, the majority of people in America, anyway, believe that they do have guardian angels, and that
I think we do. No,
I think so too, but I can't really prove it. It's kind of frustrating in that regard.
Look at the movie "It's a Wonderful Life" with Jimmy Stewart, Clarence, his angel.
Yes, actually have a I have screenwriter sent me a follow up, like the whole backstory to Clarence.
Really,
His father wrote this. Yeah, it's I don't know. Hollywood's a very small.
Was it based on the movie or based on the actor who played Clarence?
No. It's based on the movie. The storyline. His father was involved in writing the original screenplay, and he'd done like a sequel, but it was like earlier. It's like you get the whole backstory to Clarence before he meets Jimmy Stewart's character. Anyway, everybody has their own opinion and their own experience. And I think it has to be personal because it is a relationship. And it's kind of hard to, well, you certainly can't convince anybody else about it. You know, even like I said, when I woke up and had that message, I thought, oh, that could be my imagination. And even when I picked up the book and started seeing confirmation, I thought, well, gee, this is really strange. I don't understand it. But it gradually progressed to the point where we're not only talking about it, but I show people, you know, the various books and articles and videos and stuff that they can look at it themselves and decide, you know, how they want to proceed with this relationship.
Guess how long that movie was made, It's a Wonderful Life? 74 years ago.
Jeez. I got to meet Frank Capra Sr. when I was growing up in Malibu. I knew his son, Frank Capra III. We went to school together. And he did The Grapes of Wrath, too.
Couple screenwriters on that movie, I'm told.
Oh, my God. Yeah, there was a lot of people that...
Albert Hackett, Francis Goodrich, would they be related to that person you just mentioned?
I didn't ask. But, you know, typically when a script goes to production, there's there's people that get the credit, then there's other other writers that don't get any credit. That have, because, you know, when you're talking about like a whole fictional scenario like that, it takes a lot of different minds to create a realistic fiction.
And it was not a classic at the time when it came out.
No.
Kind of bombed at the box office, did it?
This topic, George, is not really very well received by too many people, especially the dark side of it. But there's a lot of misconceptions like wings. Some of them may have wings. Others obviously clearly do not. But they're definitely interacting with us.
But they're not on clouds floating around with harps or anything like that.
No. That's maybe some of them are, but no, they're busy doing things that are serving God and other God's creation, within God's creation. They serve a purpose. You know, they're very busy. As far as I can tell.
Let's go to Neil in Alabama, first-time caller. Neil, welcome to the program.
Hi, George. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you, Neil.
I just wanted to tell you and your guest and ask you one question, that everything's going to be okay because Christ is going to come and fix it all.
I think you're absolutely right. We're going to get through this, and it's good. It's a bumpy road, but I like your attitude. And I wish they could just come down and save us all immediately, but I guess we have to go through some of the trials and tribulations, Robert, don't we?
Yeah, it's a classroom setting in that regard. I don't see it as an experiment, but from a biblical perspective, it talks about the wheat and the tares. So in essence, the good seed and the bad seed are growing together, and that at some point there will be a harvesting of the good and discarding of the bad seed. I do have a song on my Angel archive that the lyrics were given to me telepathically during Christmas of 2007, and it is from the Angel Gabriel. I could not believe at the time as it was happening, but I wrote it down. I ended up singing it, producing it myself. It's a version of Ave Maria, but it's
It's a classic song.
It is Schubert. It's the Schubert version. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful song, but the lyrics are basically, it is Gabriel announcing to Mary that she is going to give birth to Jesus. And I was not expecting that, George. But boy, when it hit me, I was in tears, and I don't mean sad. Literally, tears of joy were streaming down my face as I was writing down the lyrics.
Those are the best kind of tears, my friend.
Yeah, but I mean, it was like I said, it was totally unexpected. And it's a beautiful message that I'm privileged to share with people.
Are you amazed by the CBS poll that says 8 in 10 people in this country believe in angels?
Yes and no. I mean, I think it depends how you ask it. Here's the thing. I'm encouraged. Let me just briefly finish what I was going to say.
Yeah, I got a minute left. Go ahead.
The message that they gave me was that their love for us is never ending. That's what Gabriel was passing on through me to explain to you. This is an updated message. The reason that Jesus was even came into our life was because they love us, and we're family. They want us to do well. They want us to be healthy and happy and strong and smart and loving. You know, it's just like that's what families all do.
What we're supposed to do.
Right.
Robert, yeah. Thank you for being on the program. Keep in touch. You working on any other books or anything right now?
Yeah, it's a trilogy. It's a novel. It's called the Malibu Mystic. And we talked about it before. It turned into a much bigger project than I
did. Oh, okay. I thought you would have been done with it by now.
Yeah, I'll let you know when it's done.
Super. Thanks. Robert Stanley, his website, of course, linked up at coasttocoastam.com. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesour, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boros, Tim Banal, Ian Punnett, and George Knapp. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.